Hi, Michael. So nice to meet you. You're one of my favorite actors. I can't believe we've never met or I've never spoke to you before. This is crazy.
Oh, thank you so much. It's nice to meet you, Ramon.
Yeah, so this was an interesting character. Tell me how you developed his look, because I know that's really important to you, to sort of go from, like, you know, the whole thing, immerse yourself.
Yeah, it's not the most important thing, but everything's important. But yeah, the character's look, his walk, his movements, things like these can really help you pinpoint what that character is going to be.
So what was what was your input?
So what do you want to know?
I want to know.
I went to a lot of pawn shops and like Goodwill places, and I went with the wardrobe people, and we just picked out things. I'm not even sure if there's a shot of it in the film, but his tattoos were a lot of conversations.
Mm-hmm.
And there's one tattoo he had on his back, which was a beautiful pencil drawing of the skeleton of a bat. And that actually was drawn by Dree Hemingway's sister. She had shown me some of her sister's artwork, and it was so great that I asked if we could use it for some of the tattoos.
And did it make it into the film, or you don't think it made it into the film?
You know what? I don't, like, sit home and watch my films.
Because
like,
it doesn't ring a bell.
I can't remember if... I think that it was a very big piece on his back, and I think that... I can't remember if we got it in the film or not. But it was you know, that's one thing... One thing that was really important was to me and to the the director was that if he's going to have tattoos, that they mean something. That they, you know, it's not just, you know, very often in, you know, an actor wants to look like a tough guy and they just throw tattoos all over him and they don't have any meaning, or they have meaning that people are unaware of.
This is kind of a crazy question, but I do know of an actor who did the same thing. She designed her tattoo, and then after the film, she actually got it. Is that something that you would do?
Oh, no. I mean, I think I got my first tattoo when I was 14 years old, and I learned very quickly that I probably shouldn't mark up my body. I don't have a vision when it comes to the... And I think it's very important if you're going to tattoo yourself that you have a vision about it. I do remember that one of the... I made a movie called Last Days. And I was very isolated, you know, on purpose for that character. And I did remember going to work, and I guess the crew and some of the actors all went out at night. And I think they had a few drinks, and they all got Last Days tattoos on their bodies, and I was upset that I missed that, but maybe I dodged a bullet there.
Oh God! Now that character, now since you brought it up, he was very much inspired by Kurt Cobain, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely.
Were you familiar that his guitar broke records? It just went under the hammer.
I just saw 6 million, right?
Yeah.
It's a very important guitar, and it's also a modified guitar. You know, Kurt was a lefty, and then. Yeah, that's a very important guitar.
Is that something that you would have, if you knew, did you know about it? Would you have bid on something like that? Would you have wanted something like of his?
I have, you know, just things that Courtney had given me, and also Gus. But I would never sell them, or and I obviously I'm not a, I mean, I could bid on, I guess I could, I wouldn't have the money to bid, you know, on anything. The person who bought the guitar, I mean, he's going to display it in museums, I think, or at least he said that. And a lot of the proceeds are going to go to musicians, you know, like music schools and stuff like that. That's what I heard. So, yeah, I don't have money like that. I mean, I
well, listen,
probably the last thing I would do is buy a guitar, you know.
Well, if Courtney gave me something of Kurt's, I think I would keep that very close to my heart. Can you reveal what it was?
I'd rather not. But it's, you know, it's yeah, I mean, it's, yeah, there's, I think some things are sacred. I will tell you a funny story about Joaquin Phoenix, if you're interested. Since we're talking about guitars, I think this is a really funny story.
Okay.
That we were making a film together, and he was the lead of the film. I had a very small part. There was a lot of time on my hands. And so at one point he was working, and I didn't have a guitar. And I wanted to play his guitar until, like, I grabbed his guitar, started playing it, and he came back and he, like, almost yelled at me. And I was like, oh, well, I'm sorry, dude, you know, sorry. And he's like, come here, I want to show you something. And so he opens up, inside the guitar case, he opens up this piece of paper, and he unfolds this paper, and inside the paper are, like, it's kind of like powder. And I'm like, what is that? And he goes, that's Johnny Cash. It was some of his remains.
Wow.
And I think it might have been one of Cash's guitars, I'm not sure, which I'd probably yell at anyone if they touched it, yeah, I think the estate or the family had given that sort of like a inspiration of playing Johnny Cash.
What was the film that you worked?
Oh my God, it's a horrible film. Don't ever see it. No, that's not true. Basically, there are amazing actors in it. Everyone is great, but me. what was the film called? It was called The Village.
Oh my God, I saw that movie. I did. Now I'm going to have to rewatch it to see you.
No, I don't.
That's funny. That's a great story. Well, I know that you're a musician. I know you have a band. You have a band called Pagoda, right? Are you still? Is that still a working band, or do you still do that?
Well, I mean, I record mostly now alone. I will always play. Hello?
I'm here.
Okay, cool. I'll always, you know, that's always my band. I'll always play with those guys. It's just very difficult. People, you know, it's very difficult to keep a band together, especially, you know, my day job is pretty, you know, it doesn't make scheduling with things with three other musicians very easy. I would like to gig with them, but it is hard. The music industry has really been...
it's in the shitter.
It's really, really hard to be a musician. And also, everything that surrounds them. I mean, to managers and tour managers and, I mean, everything, you know. It's we've already entered the realm of kids. It's not even stealing to them, you know. They just think it should be free, and if they pay anyone, it's a middleman. They don't pay the musician, so it's hard to be a musician. It really is.
Well, good thing you have acting to fall back on. You know, this movie, it's interesting because there was a scene in the movie, and it's so eerie. You're in a drive-in movie theater. And now that's the only way we're getting to see movies.
Yeah, it's something that I hope is not lost, but I think absolutely, you know, within the mainstream, the people's home theater, people just want to stay home. So I still love the cinema, but it's becoming more and more like a boutique thing, like what vinyl is or something.
How can we see this film? Like, what's the best way to see it? Like, where?
I think there's some kind of website. It's just like rip films for free. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
That was a joke. Oh my God! I haven't been able to make anyone laugh. That was a big joke. Are you talking about Run with the Hunted? How do you see that?
Yeah. Were you making a joke? Rip films.
Yeah. No. It was a joke. It was a joke. It was like basically what happened to the music industry. You know. I mean, everything just became free and.
Gotcha. I'm a blonde. I get things a little too late.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a blonde too. Maybe that's the problem. Two blondes in the room, and they both don't get each other's jokes.
It's like two blondes walk into a room. That's funny. Now let's talk about Ron Perlman. I love Charlie Hunnam, but Michael, you could have played that role in Sons of Anarchy in a heartbeat. Did you ever go out for that? I'm curious.
To be perfectly honest, I didn't. I haven't seen it. But Ron Perlman's been around forever. I think my favorite film that he did is City of the Lost Children.
Yeah.
You know, I kind of grew up. I had a lot of family in Jersey who were bikers, and like my Aunt Patty, for instance, you know, she was very into riding bikes, and so I was kind of curly, and she always said, you know, you can ride with me, but you got to ride, bitch. She was a tough lady. But yeah, I chose to read plays instead of ride motorcycles. But actually now I would love to get a motorcycle.
Yeah, absolutely. There's so much myth around you though. Like I don't believe half of the things that I read about you. I think a lot of it has been made up.
You're the first person who's ever said that.
Because it's obvious.
The secret's out now. But people just believe anything they read on the internet. I mean, I don't fight it because I don't know. I mean, I was taught to focus on the work and things that I was not, you know, publicity and you know, those things. I know that they have. You know, they have a time and a place for them, but, like, as far as designing my career based on what people say, or it has definitely taken its toll a little bit, because especially now people just read whatever's on the internet. I mean, they look up something on Wikipedia like it's true. There's plenty of things on Wikipedia about me that are just not true, and I kind of laugh at it, but I probably shouldn't, because people really go there for, like, they're getting information.
For instance, there was a whole story about how you got discovered, that you thought you were going to get arrested, and I thought, that's just a load of crap.
Oh, my God. Well, it was like, that's not even good.
That's not even a good fake story.
Yeah, it's not even good. Like, yeah, I mean, it's definitely... I don't know. I mean, at some point, I think, you know, I also write and stuff. At some point, I'll release something, you know, I think that would clear a lot of things up. But, like, I've had the luxury, if you ask me, to not get involved with the social media stuff. And I've never really had a presence online. That coupled with I don't have a publicist. I mean, it's there's pretty much everything you read is they're misinformed.
So are you writing a like your autobiography, your memoirs?
Yes. I've been collecting writings of that throughout the years. But right now I'm focusing a lot on writing screenplays, and but you know, it's a little tricky because an actor, I think in a lot of ways, there's a difference between an actor and a personality. You know, an actor, for me to be an actor the way that I was trained and taught to be an actor is not necessarily for people to care about where I'm going or what shoes I'm wearing, or like, I mean, that just has nothing to do with my work. I just never conduct myself in that way. I actually don't know how to do it.
When you read the script for Run with the Hunted, did you feel like it was a morality tale in a way? You know, in sort of like the universe, how did it touch you? Because it's like one thing to like say the words, but then like when it comes out, there's definitely themes behind it.
I tried to just not have him, you know, one of the things that I loved the most about working on this film was working with the boys.
Mm.
And in that just personally and professionally was just great.
He was like a Fagin in a way, you know, from Oliver.
Yeah. The way that I played him was that within his world, what he was trying to do was to pass something on to all the boys. You know, that's the only kind of, I guess, morality I tried to bring to him. I think it would have been a mistake to just play him as just this character who had this experience and now has become this hardened criminal. I you know, that wouldn't ring true to me, and also it's less interesting to play.
I think this is going to be my last question. You're going to be 40 this year, right?
Well, people have to stop reminding me my age. I keep trying to forget.
No, I think you look great. 40 is the best age ever.
No, it's not really about that.
I know. Thanks. It's the best age. It really is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, that's good to hear.
But no comment.
Definitely good to hear. What do you want me to comment on? I think it's a lot easier for men to be 40 than women, and you know, I'm not going to complain about it. To be honest.
Yes.
I don't know. What hole am I digging right now? Pull me out of this.
To be continued. It was really sweet talking to you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Take good care, and I hope to meet you in person someday. That'd be great.
Me too.
Always news.
Always refreshing.
Always candid.
Always milling about.
Robin Milling delivers what celebrities are saying to you.